Thanks for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, it's all about the weekend against Tampa. Well, some of the weekend, Friday and Sunday. We can forget Saturday ever happened. We'll talk about the Yankees finally making the playoffs. I'll give my thoughts on what I think could happen in the wild card at Fenway and more.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, this is Stacey Gatsoulias of Locked On Yankees. Welcome to the show. It is Monday, October 4th. The Yankees are in the playoffs. They didn't need to play a game 163, though it looked like it was heading that way this weekend after losing the first two to Tampa. And then after not scoring for the first eight innings of Sunday's game, they finally scored and they're in the playoffs. Before we get into everything, you can subscribe to Locked On Yankees on every podcasting platform available, including Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. You can like and you can comment. And you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So this weekend was a weekend. The Yankees were feeling good. They beat Toronto and Boston. In Toronto and Boston, 5 out of 6. Then they were heading into the last weekend of the season with 3 against Tampa. And Tampa had nothing to play for. But because they're Tampa and because they're pains in the rear end, they had to act as if they were playing for something. They were playing to ruin the Yankees' season, basically, because the Yankees and Rays don't really get along that well. So, that was... Now, we're not going to really talk about Saturday's game. Saturday's game was a complete disaster, which I find strange because heading into the game, you would think, okay, Jordan Montgomery starting, it should be okay. And then it really wasn't at all. Oh my God. Wow. And not only that, CeCe Sabathia was there. And CeCe and Jordan Montgomery have a relationship, you know, they're lefties and, you know, CeCe always refers to him as his boy. And, you know, he posts on Instagram whenever Jordan makes a start, and CeCe was there on Saturday. And it almost felt disrespectful in a way that the Yankees lost such a horrible game in front of CeCe Sabathia. Like, how dare you do that to CeCe Sabathia? But let's talk about Friday first. Because Friday was the game that annoyed me the most out of all of them. Once you get to a point where your team is down 6-0, you can get mad about it, but it's just, it falls into the, it's just one of those days category. It's just one of those games. It happens. You know, of course, Brandon Lau is going to hit 3 home runs. But Friday night is where I have an issue because Aaron Boone was managing Friday's game as if it were a Friday in April, not October 1st, not a game the Yankees needed to win in order to make it into the playoffs and avoid a scary 4-way tie game 163 situation. He wanted to see how Domingo Germán was going to perform. Why? Why in that situation? You're down 2-1 at that point. The game is within reach. Why on earth would you do that? Okay, fine. Domingo Germán pitches one inning. He's okay. Why would you even risk it going 2? That's where things got screwy. Then Boone brings in Albert Abreu. Rays go up 4-1. Now, the Yankees made it interesting in the ninth, cut it to 4-3, but they ended up losing. That game goes in a completely different direction. Most likely, if they don't bring in, not if they don't bring in Germán, if they don't keep Germán in and replace him with Abreu. I don't understand Aaron Boone's mindset there. because he said after the game he wanted to see what Herman could do. Again, it's October. It's not April. You can't do stuff like that. And I had predicted before the season started that the Yankees would win 95 games, and people were laughing at me. With that rotation, how are they going to win that many games? They ended up winning 92. Now, if you look at all the games that the bullpen blew, the games that Aaron Boone kind of punted when they were going for sweeps and he'd put the C lineup out, you know, games like that, the Yankees should have been way closer to 100. The games they should have beaten the Orioles. Yankees win 5 more games against the Orioles, then they're in the first wild card position and they're hosting the wild card game. But that didn't happen. But yeah, I was not happy with Aaron Boone at all. I mean, I wasn't really happy with the offense not doing anything. They didn't really do anything all weekend, which is scary heading into the wild card game. And just a programming note, I will be previewing the wild card game on Tuesday's show, obviously, because the game is on Tuesday night. We'll have quotes from all the players. Everyone is giving quotes today. It's raining up in Fenway right now. It's also raining in New York. The weather is crappy. There might not be outdoor practices. So yeah, we will have that for you tomorrow. So Sunday, let's talk about Sunday briefly before we have to talk about other things. The stars of the game, and yes, had them as the players of the game also, the pitching. And I will say, as badly as Aaron Boone managed on Friday night, he did a nice job on Sunday afternoon. He actually managed with urgency. It was nice to see. Instead of him being this laid back, oh, things will happen, it's okay, like in that kind of mode, he knew when to bring in new guys. He did a really good job. Now, it would have been, well, okay, he did a really good job because they won. If they hadn't won and they were forced into a game 163, there would have been a problem. But that was more on the offense. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't the pitching fault. The pitching's fault. It was the offense's fault. We'll get more into yesterday's game, Sunday's game. But first, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, you've got your neighbor's your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and TV shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible devices required, and the content varies by package. Hey, Yankee fans, this is Stacey Gotsoulias with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app at the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL. Whoo! Sunday's game was just, oh God. It was a typical 2020 Yankees game. It couldn't have happened any other way. It couldn't be easy. Why would it be easy? That's not how the 2021 Yankees operate. Nothing is ever easy for this team. So the pitchers shut out the Rays for the entire game. And things did get scary there in the latter innings when Randy Arozarena hit a double, then he made it to third, and he was on third with, was it one out? And you're thinking to yourself, they're going to score here. This is what's going to happen. And then they didn't. But we need to talk about Gio Urshela. The man nearly killed himself yesterday. That's not even hyperbole. He really could have seriously injured himself. And yes, I will say it, it was better than Jeter's play. I know, you can all yell at me if you want to, but that play was better than Jeter's play. He ran 126 feet to catch that ball. And then with no regard to his body at all, similar to Jeter, flies into the dugout. And not only that, he hits his, it looked like he hit his hip, quad area into one of the benches at the front of the dugout where the guys sit by the fence. And he was down for so long, I seriously thought the man broke a leg. And with the, I will say it was kind of funny, not really, but watching the Rays players' reactions to him flying into the dugout, I can't recognize or figure out who is who on that team because a lot of them look so much alike, you know. But there was one tall guy with a beard who made an O face. And if you're not watching me on YouTube, I apologize. But the O face, when your mouth is really wide and open and it's shaped like an O, that's basically, he was like, and they showed it on Yes. And then Angel Hernandez comes out of nowhere to see if Urshela caught the ball. And then he flips into the dugout. So he could have hurt himself. Some people thought it was the third base umpire who did that, but no, it was Angel Hernandez. He came from behind home plate, went to the dugout fence, flipped over, and then called the out, which they needed that out. I feel bad that I don't trust Chad Green in big situations because Chad Green has been a pretty good player for the Yankees, but lately he's been giving up some backbreaking home runs. And with the way the game was going on Sunday, it felt as if he was going to give up a backbreaking home run. That game just, it felt that way. The longer the Yankees and Rays both went without scoring, it felt like it was heading toward one of those games where the Rays would score in like the top of the ninth, you know. And with the way the Yankees weren't doing anything at the plate against Michael Wacha, we need to talk about that. It just, yeah, it looked like it was heading that way. Michael Wacha came into the game with an ERA over 5. But in 2021, Michael Wacha had over a 5 ERA against every other team and an ERA under 2 against the Yankees. So that's why the Yankees couldn't hit him. And I say this all the time. The Yankees just have a problem with hitting guys who have high ERAs. And in our postseason preview show, Locked On MLB, check it out. I was on with Jason from Locked On Red Sox. And he described the Red Sox exactly how I would have described the Yankees. Defense is iffy. The pitching can be good or could be bad. The lineup has the potential to score runs, but they also have the potential to be shut down. And they have trouble with guys who throw like 86 miles an hour. And it's the same thing for the Yankees. Not that Wacha throws 86 miles an hour. Who's the guy on the Rays? Yarbrough? Is that his name? He's the one that throws really low. He throws like a normal pitcher. He's not like one of those 98, 99 mile an hour guys, if I'm remembering correctly. Because as I said, I get all the Rays guys confused. I don't know why, you know, we face them how many times, the Yankees face them how many times a year, and I still can't tell any of these guys apart. But anyway, the Yankees and the Red Sox are very similarly matched. Say that 5 times fast. And the wild card could go either way. I'll get into that in the next segment. But yeah, more about Sunday. So, ninth inning. The Yankees offense finally wakes up. It took all game. It was like a switch was flipped. And I don't know if it was because it became more overcast, because the Yankees do have trouble with day games and they don't do well with day games. So thank goodness the wild card game is an 8:08 start. By the way, 8:08 ESPN. Should be interesting. So they come alive in the ninth inning. and Aaron Judge comes up. First base is open. And I'm thinking, if I were the Rays, would I pitch to Judge or would I walk Judge with a chance to face Stanton, who hasn't really done much over the weekend and who has a propensity to ground into a double play because there was one out, first base open. I mean, obviously, Stanton also has, he could also hit a grand slam with the best of them. But as I said, he wasn't really doing anything that much all weekend. He had a couple of hits, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like the performance against Boston the previous weekend. And they decided to pitch to Judge. And honestly, I mean, it wasn't like a great hit. You know, he hit it right to someone, but thank God Tyler Wade was on third base, pinch running for Rougui Odor. And he was able to score. Yankees win. Yankees get into the playoffs. No crazy four-team play-in scenario. No offense to Toronto and Seattle fans. I love you guys. I have lots of friends who are Jays fans and Seattle fans. I did not want that scenario. I know you wanted your teams to have a chance to make it into the playoffs and play a 163, but I wanted nothing. Nope, didn't want a part of that. I would have preferred the Yankees to win on Friday, win on Saturday, pull ahead of the Red Sox. So no matter what happened on Sunday, they'd be ahead and be in the first spot. And then the other three play each other to see who faces the Yankees. But that didn't happen. So we just get the Yankees and Red Sox. I know a lot of people are upset about it. What are you going to do? I know MLB is probably not upset about it because it'll be hyped up beyond anything we would want to see. But that's how the playoffs go. So, yeah. I just wanted to say once again, thanks for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. And we are free and available on all platforms. Do you know what time it is? Mm-hmm. It's that time again. It's time for me to talk about Built Bar. Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There's something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about those favorites. And if you don't know the flavors, you're missing out. They have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite is mint brownie. If you listen to the show or watch the show, you know that I love that flavor so much. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two each of the nine flavors and figure out what you like and then just keep ordering what you like. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. As I bang my microphone, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, mint brownie is fantastic if you like chocolate and mint. The coconut is good. Everything is covered in chocolate. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's good for you. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So, the Yankees celebrated making the wild card by nearly drowning poor Bronxy the turtle in champagne. Now, I didn't see any reports that said that Bronxy is hurt, so hopefully he's okay, or she's okay. Rougui Odor referred to the turtle as a she, so now there's some debate as to whether it's a boy or a girl turtle. I just can't even believe that they were pouring champagne on that poor animal. These guys are crazy. Anyway, all I know is when I was watching the postgame yesterday, after being relieved that they actually won, being relieved they made it into the playoffs, there's no 163 nonsense, I kept yelling at the TV, telling them to be careful. Because, you know, you have plastic on the floor, champagne flying all over the place, beer flying all over the place. You can slip on that stuff. And you don't ever want to hear about a guy being injured heading into the playoffs because of a champagne incident. So yeah, I was a little nervous there, but they were all very excited. And I mean, why not? As I said, this season has been season has been such a roller coaster. And as I said, Sunday's game was just the perfect ending to the regular season because we were all nervous wrecks the entire time. Everyone watching that game as a Yankee fan was a nervous wreck because, as I said, it could have gone either way. It could have been one of those games where the Rays get a late home run and then the Yankees come up in the bottom of the ninth and don't do anything. Or it could have been like a Friday situation where the Rays pull ahead a bit and then the Yankees tease us, get it to within one, and then two strikeouts in a row to end the game and they lose. So it was good it ended the way it did. It was a relief that it ended the way it did, that they don't have to play on Monday. They get to just be interviewed on Monday, practice on Monday. They're already up in Boston. As I said, it's raining up in Fenway. Not sure if they're going to have a full workout. I don't think so, because if the last time I checked about an hour and a half ago, the tarp was on the field. So as I said, I will have quotes for you tomorrow on the show because guys are still talking. And I do know that Gerrit Cole is very excited and wished that the game was tonight. I'm slightly worried about Gerrit Cole. He's been doing in every other game where he's iffy and he's okay and he's iffy and he's okay. He was iffy in his last start. So hopefully that means he will be okay on Tuesday night. Now, he says he's excited. He says he's pumped up. He grew up a Yankee fan. He knows about the rivalry with the Red Sox. He understands how big a deal this is. You know, he said he watched the old Pedro, Roger Clemens matchups in the late 90s. I was at the infamous one. Was it Trot Nixon that hit the late home run? It was 0-0 going into the top of the ninth. Martinez against Clemens. It was a fantastic game. But the Red Sox ended up winning because I believe it was Trot Nixon hit a home run in the top of the ninth. Then the Yankees come up in the bottom of the ninth, didn't do anything, and the Red Sox won. It was a Sunday night ESPN game. It was the night before Memorial Day. And yeah, that was a rough one. I feel like the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry isn't like that anymore. It was really intense from the late 90s through to, I want to say, the early 2010s. It was still a little spicy there. Into maybe like 2010, 2011. Although 2016, there was some stuff going on. Oh God, what was that pitcher's name that Mark Teixeira had an incident with? I can't remember his name. Padilla? Is that who it was? They didn't like each other. They didn't like each other at all. And Mark Teixeira took great pride in the fact that, and, you know, it kind of added some spice to the rivalry then. And, you know, Mark Teixeira hit that walk-off grand slam on the last day of the season. You know, the Yankees didn't make the playoffs. The Red Sox could have clinched, I think. Or they could have, you know, if they had won, they would have clinched on the field. And, or I think they had clinched because someone lost, so they would have been able to celebrate on the Yankees field if the Yankees had lost the game. But then Tex hit the home run, and he basically said after the game, you know, yeah, they could celebrate in the locker room. They're not celebrating on our field. So, yeah, I feel like it's been a while since the lineup has been spicy. There hasn't been anything. I feel like the Rays-Yankees rivalry is more intense right now than the Red Sox Yankees. And a lot of people are joking about the wild card game pretty much being it's going to decide who gets to lose to the Rays in the division series, because the White Sox and Astros will be playing, and the Rays and the winner of the Red Sox Yankees will be playing. Again, I will have a full preview on tomorrow's show. I may even have some guests on tomorrow's show to preview the wild card, and it'll be something. I don't know about you guys. I'm feeling relaxed, but I think it's because it's the day before. I think I'll be feeling a little nervous on Tuesday, but maybe not. I don't know. I don't know why I feel calm. It's kind of strange because that's not me at all. If you know me from Twitter, if you know me in real life, you know that I'm not a calm person. And I'm feeling very zen right now. It's almost as if I'm just relieved the Yankees actually made it into the playoffs, even though it's just one game for now. But yeah, they made it. And, you know, can't take that away from them. Considering how the season went, as I said, up and down, lots of weird stuff happening, and some of those losses in the regular season with the bullpen, especially the bullpen implosions, those were the most annoying. The game against the Angels that I was at, where Chapman gave up the grand slam to, was it Walsh? And the game in Houston, they won that series 2 out of 3. But all anyone can remember is the fact that the Yankees were up 5 runs in the bottom of the 9th and lost that game. The game against the Mets, that was before that. That was July 4th weekend. The series in Boston, where they lost 3 out of 4, but had a chance to win 3 out of 4. So yeah, as I said, at the beginning of the show, I predicted either 94 or 95 wins, and some people were laughing at me, and they made it to 92. You know, I mean, it would have been more embarrassing for me if I predicted the Yankees were going to win 95 games and they finished like the Padres did, under 500. So at least that didn't happen. But anyway, tomorrow, full preview. Red Sox Yankees AL wildcard in Fenway Park, 808 on ESPN. It's going to be something. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on baseball and the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Monday. Take a deep breath. Relax. We're off tonight. Tomorrow's the day where you get to flip out, and I will talk to you all then.